I get the privilege to and honor to host a panel of six amazing women on stage on a well-known scripture, the book of Proverbs 31. So why don't we just cheer these women as they come on stage right now. Give them a hand. Christine. Fantastic. I'd ask you to bear with us because I know we've gone a bit over time today, but this is a special moment for our mums and our panels, and normally we will make sure that we get on time, but we'll start the process now. So this amazing mum that we have here, what a beautiful view. What a beautiful view. Well, I want to just say that the book of Proverbs is a collection of wise sayings by one of the kings of Israel. And you would have noticed in our promotions is around, and the theme is strength and dignity. So I want to read this to you because people might not know what Proverbs 31 is. But I know it's a long passage, but bear with me. I start with verse 10. Who can find a virtuous and capable wife? She is more precious than rubies. Her husband can trust her, and she will greatly enrich his life. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She finds the wool and flax and busily spins it. She's like a merchant ship bringing her food from afar. She gets up before dawn to prepare breakfast for her household and plan the day's work for her servant girls. She goes to inspect a field and buys it with her earnings and she plants a vineyard. She's energetic and strong, a hard worker. She makes sure her dealings are profitable. Her lamp burns late into the night. Her hands are busy spinning thread, her fingers twisting fiber. She extends a helping hand to the poor and opens her arms to the needy. She has no fear of winter for her household, for everyone has warm clothes. She makes her own bedspreads. She dresses in fine linen and purple gowns. Her husband is well known at the city gates, where he sits with the other civic leaders. She makes belted linen garments and sashes to sell to the merchants. She is clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear of the future. When she speaks, her words are wise, and she gives instructions with kindness. She carefully watches everything in her household and suffers nothing from laziness. Her children stand and bless her. Her husband praises her. There are many virtuous and capable women in the world, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty does not last, but a woman who fears the Lord will be greatly praised. Reward her for all she has done and let her deeds publicly declare her praise. Now, that's a very long proverb, and for us, you know, to read this proverb, it'll probably take us 5 minutes. But, you know, can I just give in context that this proverb is actually over a decade of time. This proverb is actually being written and given to a son who is a wish list, pretty much, to give in to the son who one day would love to, you know, one of these attributes to be married to someone like her. So, you know, for us, it could look like it's so intimidating. It's so like, is there actually a woman out there that does that? So we can sit here and go, yep, 5 minutes of reading, but it takes over a lifetime, 5 minutes, 50, probably 5 decades. So it's good to not use this as a checklist, but a description of some of the things that God may call us over a lifetime of good works. So without further ado, I want to just ask the panels to actually introduce themselves so you know. So I'll go from this side first.
Hi, I'm Christine. I'm a mum of 2 children and 2 stepchildren. I was a single mum with Josh for a time. And then when I remarried, I instantly gained 2 more sons. And then I, with my husband I married, I gained a daughter. We had a daughter between us. I work full-time two jobs. I'm an admin assistant at City Point Christian College in student support, and I also do admin and costuming for a dance school. I've done this for nearly 27-ish years. I'm a grandmother of five grandchildren now, and love it, love being the grandma.
So many things. Leanne.
Mine's not as extensive as that. So my name's Leanne. I'm a mum to two kids and a mum to a stepdaughter as well.
Kia ora, my name's Christine. I'm a mother of five, and I have a grandson who is five, and the wife of Michael, who's the entertainer, and I'm certainly not.
I'm Danielle. I am a full-time single parent of three children, and my kids are my life.
My name is Renee. I have much less extensive experience. I am a mum of one who is 4 weeks old today, so brand new.
Hi, my name is Rose. I have a mother of two boys, one married and one about to be married next month, which I'm so excited about. And I've just recently retired from work, but I love helping Leanne in the food co-op.
Fantastic. As you can see, we have an array of women here in front of you that is just amazing in their own way. And I have been privileged and honoured to walk the journey with these women around me. And I tell you what, if you only knew all of the details of their story, you would be amazed as to how much. And this is why we're doing this panel, because sometimes there are things and issues that we don't get to discuss in church. But I would like to give light to that, with the strength and dignity of these women around, and as a mum that actually encompasses that. So I'm just so thankful that they said yes to being on the hot seat today. And so you're going to be hearing from the wisdom. And just because you're not a mom or your dad here today, I don't want you to switch off, because everything that we're going to discuss today pertains to things that you will know of somebody that would go through, and it's always good to actually listen and glean from the wisdom and life experiences of this woman. So before we start, I want you to look at the screen right now, and production team, I want you to put this image up. See the image? No? Okay, let me just start for a sec. What is the most embarrassing thing you have done for your children? Christine, maybe I could ask you. Not yet? No, I think I know. Okay, now the big screen. Mums, okay? You walk into a room and find this. What's your reaction? Leanne, Christy, what's your reaction?
I would turn around and say to my kids, wait till your father gets home.
Okay, Christine Faulkner.
What would I do? Oh, dear. I would clean it straight away. I don't know where I'd put the kids, though. That might be a different story.
Okay, we have another image up, please. Okay, we have heard all the jokes about parenting multiple kids. Look at the big screen now and tell me, how did your parenting change from number one to three? Dan, maybe you can answer this one. You have three children. The question: first child eats dirt, parent calls a doctor. Second child eats dirt, parent cleans out mouth. Third child eats dirt, parents wonder if they really need to feed them lunch. What do you thought about that?
I think it sounds fairly accurate. I will say, though, I have three fairly wild children. And probably my
first gave me the biggest run for my money.
And she's here today, isn't she, Jasmine?
So, prepared me for anything. Really not surprised by anything.
Very good. Very good. Well, Renee, I'm going to start with you because you're the youngest in this panel also, and you're a brand new mum. And I'm just, so thankful that you're here with, you know, just with your new bundle of joy. Sorry. So, you know, one of the things I admire about you, Renee, is that you're graceful and grace-filled. And I just see that about you, how in all of the journey that you've gone through, a few journeys in life, and you've just been strong. And the strength that you have as a person, I never underestimate the fact that you are a strong woman. And so, as a brand new mum to Joy, only 4 weeks old, you have had some health challenges prior to being here. And can you tell us a little bit about that challenge and the journey of endometriosis?
So I think I might just expand on that a little bit as well, because I think there are two times in life I've thought, oh, maybe I won't be able to be a mum. And I think the first one was when, oh gosh, I'm already going to cry. This is new mum hormones, far out. Was when I separated and divorced from my first husband. And I was 27 or 28, and I thought, okay, maybe I can't be a mum now because, you know, I may not meet someone else and maybe that's not my journey. And I thought, oh, I realise now I actually really wanted to be a mum. But so that was my first kind of time. And then obviously you guys have seen my journey, and I found an amazing man and remarried. And about 3 months before we got married, I was diagnosed with endometriosis, which is a medical condition that affects your uterus and the lining of your uterus. And the only way you can be diagnosed with it is through surgery, and I had the surgery as an investigation into some pain that I was having. So when I got diagnosed with that, one of the things that they tell you is that it can really impact on your fertility, and it can mean that you can't have kids, or it can mean that it's difficult for you to have kids, but it's not always the case. So we took that in, and we prayed about it, and Luke and I knew that we wanted to start a family as soon as we could. And so we just decided that we would just see what happened, trust God's timing. And that worked, because on our first cycle train, I fell pregnant. So that was incredibly lucky, because we didn't know what that would look like for us.
And I think that's just God's provision and saying, no, yes, you have doctors, but believe in my word and what I've promised you. And, just you holding on that promises of God has been really good for you and Luke, isn't it? That's awesome. Well, today's a special day because, Renee, you have four generations present here today. You have your Grandma Joan, and then you have your mum, Joanne, and then yourself, and now Joy. It's a special moment in the end. It reminds me of a scripture that says in 2 Timothy 1:5, where it says, I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. As a brand new mum, you can start from a clean slate, like you've mentioned before, that Proverbs 22:6 saying, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So you and Luke have a particular way of instilling and how to raise Joy. Can you tell me what are the three most important things you want to instill in her?
Yeah, so obviously there's lots and lots of things we want to instill in her. I think the first thing is for her to have a relationship with God and to know God personally. Secondly, something really important is I would want her to know who she is and have a strong sense of identity and self-worth and her value as a woman and her value as a child of God. And the third thing would be just to be a kind person, I think.
Yeah, that's awesome. And she will be just that, because you speak life into her. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you.
Rose, I want to give you another a question today, going on the similar lines. And you know, most of us here, if not online as well, that we have had to go through some grief in our life. And you know, grief is not just about a death of a loved one. Grief is comes from many forms. And one of those things is loss. And grief and loss is an experience, is what you've experienced, Rose. And so, could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, just a bit of a background. I had my first son, Nicholas, and 2 years later, I had my daughter, Lorena Christine, and sadly, I had a complicated pregnancy, and we were both ill, and so she just lived for a day, and then my husband and I had to make the very difficult decision to turn off her life support. And to this day, you sort of, you go through wondering, thinking, but look, it was agonising. There's no other word to describe it. But through the grace of God and lots of prayers, I was able to have my son Christopher 2 years later, and that complicated pregnancy raised its ugly head again. But we were prepared, and through lots of prayers and you know, lots of medical assistance, we fought, and he's doing extremely well. It's something that leaves, you get over the pain, but it's something that leaves like an emptiness, like a spiritual emptiness in your heart. But I know I'll see her again. I take a lot of comfort from the words of King David when he lost his son to Bathsheba. Mm. And he says, he won't return to me, but I will go to him. So I take a lot of comfort in that. And, that was tough, but we got through it. Lives in our hearts forever. Yeah.
Rose, that's a vulnerable time for you. Thank you for sharing that. That's, you know, not a lot of people will know that you've gone through that journey. And this is, I guess, part of the thing that I guess what I've asked you is that, would you mind sharing that? And you said no, because you know that the experience that you've had is actually helping a lot of people today. And so we just thank you for sharing that vulnerable moment. You know, we always go through things in life as women and mums and everything. And another one of those is, she's sitting next to me on the left-hand side, and she happens to be my sister-in-law. So she's the oldest, so Christine, you've had a fair share, as you mentioned before, about single parenting, and I got an insight of who you are from your brother, Daryl. He describes you as someone who is a planner, organiser and detailed. How did these qualities help you to raise your children?
I wasn't always organised. I wasn't always a planner. My room was always messy when I was younger. And how I became organised, I have no idea. But being the eldest, I was the one that drew up the timetable to do the duties in the house, and who did the washing up, who did the drying up, and all that sort of thing. So I don't know whether that stemmed from that. But Mum and Dad taught us to pretty much work hard in everything, and that's continued on in our lives. I've worked hard with raising children, being the best mum, being the best wife, being the best worker, whatever I touch my hand to. I believe that I need to pretty much present my work ethic, but what would God want me to present myself as being? And it's one thing Mum and Dad sort of taught us. They taught us to get to church. Church was important. Church was good to be around good people. Learning about God, learning God's teaching, imparting that teaching in our lives, And in that we passed it on to our children. From that we learnt to be faithful. We're all faithful in our relationships, how to support each other, how to be there for someone if someone needs help. Mum and Dad always taught it, and that I see that in our family and even in our children now, that has passed down. So yeah.
Yeah, and so it's part of you saying that, you know, you're not always an organiser, but that you've planned to make sure that you get to church. You know, and I think that's one of the fruits of Josh was saying that you've raised him well. You've raised him well and taught him how to do that and continue that. So your firstborn was Josh. What was it like raising a son as a single mum?
Honestly, if God wasn't there, I don't know how I would have done it. I don't know how someone can do it on their own. It is a tough job, but it's probably the best and the most rewarding job a parent can have. The things that you can do with your child is just to where to begin, to where to start. My notes are just gone right out the window. Josh and I were on our own. He was five. And for 7 years, we're on our own. And in that time, it was like God called me back to him. I wasn't going to church at the time. The marriage was toxic. I was actually praying for an out, which was not something you would want to, shouldn't do. But God provided a new road for both of us. And God placed in Josh's life so many amazing people. My brother, my dad was just amazing. With Josh, he provided awesome teachers, church when we were going to church. Rob Bradbury was an amazing pastor, a big influence on Josh's life. I was there for Josh for everything. I prayed over him when he'd have nightmares. I'd pray over him, and I taught him how to pray when he was scared. When he'd feel like he was threatened, I'd pray over him. I taught him to pray. I took him to children's church, youth. Even when he was baptised, when he was about 13, I knew I didn't want him to fall into, back then it was 30 years ago, so being a single mum and being, you know, divorced was, you know, sort of swept under the carpet in church, and it was like, you know, and I didn't want him or me to fall into that, so I really worked hard in getting into church and providing him what I couldn't provide. And I clung on to that verse, he's a husband to the widow. And yes, I wasn't a widow, but he was my husband. God was my husband. He was a father to the fatherless, and he did not let me down. He provided food on the table. When we were first on our own, I had $60 to survive for a fortnight, and we had enough food with that $60. We were first place we lived on our own. I was sharing, someone let us live in their townhouse for a little while till I could get on my feet, and then we moved to a caravan park. And God always provided a roof over my head. He provided food on the table, enough money to pay the bills, and even enough money I could at least shout Joshua 3 nights away, maybe up the coast in a caravan park. So, just to, you know, but yeah.
No. That is just amazing, because you know, like you said before, like God always provides and God will always meet you where you're at. And, you know, hats to all the single parents out there. It's a tough gig, and I wouldn't want to be doing it, but I just want to honour you today, all the people. Thanks, Christine. Now, I also want to move on to the person on my right, which I've known for a long time, Dan. I've known you since when you were 11, maybe? 11, so that's a long journey. And this woman is one of the strongest women I've known. Not going to cry. Dan, you've gone through so much heartache and pain in relationships. So can you tell me a little bit about this? And what you can say to encourage women out there about domestic violence.
Okay, I have some notes because all week I've been thinking about this, and I couldn't write anything down because there's so much to say. Mm. And a lot of it is very heavy stuff to say, and I didn't want to dive in too far. But before I say anything, I just want to clarify that domestic violence happens to men and women, and that it's unacceptable to either gender, and I'm just talking from a women's point of view today because that's what I am. But that is not to say it doesn't go the other way around. So I've been through a lot of domestic violence for a few years when my big kids were born, so 11, 12 years ago, and then that went on for quite a while. And without saying too much, my daughter's in the audience, but we ran for our lives, and that's how we lived for a long time. So that's very hard to do with small children. And I just want to say that, you know, lots of people think domestic violence is just being hit, and it's not. It's a big part of it, but it's physical, it's emotional, it's spiritual, it's control, manipulation, financial, sexual abuse. It comes in all of those forms. And the biggest thing that I found is I was young when it started, about 20, new mum, I had a baby and a toddler. And apart from my family and really Maz and Daz, I didn't have anyone in the church back then to talk to, because people don't talk about domestic violence at church. And we need to talk about it. We need to check in on people. There are people in churches all over the world in domestic violence relationships, hiding behind a smile. And we need to talk about it. We need to check in on people. We need to educate our young people on domestic violence. The boys and the girls. We need to make it clear that even though the Bible says when you get married and you become one, God does not want you to stay in an abusive marriage. Yeah. And that's something I didn't know at 20 years old. Mm-hmm. And at the time I saw a Christian counsellor that's not here, and they didn't tell me I was going through domestic violence. They tried to counsel us like a normal couple, and it wasn't until I'm much older that I realised how very wrong that was. And it wasn't until my dad said, "Danielle, you can get divorced. You don't have to stay," is when I realised it was okay. So we need to make that clear to our young people. Okay, and God is not going to look down on you for it, and the church should not look down on you for it. Mm. I have been married 2 times, and I've been divorced 2 times, and I'm only 33 years old. But that's because I will not stay in an abusive marriage.
Yeah.
And that doesn't make me, because I have received comments before in the past from people that don't agree. And my dad said, if they have a problem, they can leave, because you are always welcome in church, and we need to make that clear as a church that we support and we lift up survivors of domestic violence.
Yeah.
I just want it to be talked about. I have, you know, tried to talk to people sometimes, or they say, "How are you going?" And I say, "Well, this happened this week." And the conversation's shut down because it's awkward. People don't know what to do. I lost all my friends when I was 20. because they didn't know what to do, so they just left. Okay, but get comfortable being uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Because we need to do it. And I am raising my children to know about domestic violence, to know about abusive relationships, and also about acting abusive and working on themselves to change it. You know, and if you are the person that's been abusive, that's not to say that you can't turn around, but that's your choice. So my daughter and my sons will know their worth, they will know what they deserve in relationships, and they will know that they will not be judged if they leave a bad situation. And I just want to extend my arms to anyone that needs someone to talk to about any sort of situation that they are going through. There is no shame. There is never any shame.
Wow. Wow. Can we give Danielle a hand? This woman has gone through a lot, and if you have, I don't know whether 5 hours would even be sufficient enough, but this is all about empowering women and empowering the people around us to make sure that they know what DV is. And that is why, as a church, and you would have seen that we had an ad for to buy a robe to spread the warmth for the people who have fled domestic violence. And this is so important to talk about. And this is just a tip of the iceberg. And I know, Danielle, thank you for sharing that. And I think it's good to bring to light the things that needs to be addressed, especially in relationships. And you are raising great kids on your own. And hats off to you. And this is the power of community. With both Christine and Danielle, they had the power of community, was what we're talking about. And it's important that you get around people, you get around church community, you get around connect groups so that you have that support, someone to talk to, because sometimes, like Danielle said, no one talks about it, and the conversation suddenly shifts when things like that has been talked about. So thank you so much for bringing light to that. Are there any strengths? You know, you've talked about that strength. Were there any strengths that you drew from your mum?
Yeah. For me, I think the biggest strength right now that comes to my mind is, my mum's probably going to be crying at home, is that with what I've gone through, your heart can become very hardened. You become very just neutral, no feelings, no emotions. And I am already a very common sense person, very blunt person. My mum runs highly on emotions, and she sees the best in everybody, and I mean everybody that you don't even want to see the best in. She still says, yes, but they had this in them as well, even the most horrible person. And it's that constantly reminds me to remember to think with emotion as well, and not have a hardened heart, because when you're hardened from life experience, you can be very quick to judge things and to not trust people. And remembering that my mum does that helps me to always take a step back and think I need to look at it a different way, instead of just being so boom, boom, boom about it. So that's what I take from mum.
I would say the same thing, that Pastor Cheryl is actually was supposed to be in this panel today, and it would have been a great moment for mother and daughter to do, but, you know, COVID has struck and it's not fair. But, you know, Cheryl, as you're watching online, you'll be so proud of Danielle sitting here today, just speaking out on the things that matter, that do matter and will matter for eternity. And, you know, one of the things that you could say, that your mum's a prayer mum. She's a prayer warrior, and she also spearheads the prayer ministry here at church. And so she prays nonstop. I know that for a fact. And, you know, that's the strength that you could probably also glean from. So I've asked, I want you to look at the big screen, Danielle. I've asked you, one of your daughter, what strength have you, she's drawn from you? You can look at the big screen.
I have taken strength from Mum's confidence over the years.
And Mum taught me how to be nice.
Do Mum how much?
Can you do it with your hands? How much?
This.
10,000.
There you go. I just wanted to show you a snippet. I know when you brought them here, you probably think it didn't work out, but in that confidence and being nice, and that is one of the attributes that I see in your kids. And so thankful to know you as not only as a woman that's strong, but also as a friend. So thank you. Well, we're going to change moods now, and that was pretty heavy. But are you getting anything out of this? I hope so, church, because this is things that we don't normally talk about, and this is a safe forum, non-judgment forum, to be able to talk about these things. Christine Faulkner. Okay, there's two Christines. Chrissy, I'll call you Chrissy because that's how I call you. So as a mum has been brought up with different culture, which is a strong Maori culture, how have you balanced raising your children and the next generation while staying true to your culture as well as your Christianity?
So we as a Maori people, even Polynesian, our identity is one of the most biggest thing that we learn from a young child. One thing for our children is we always teach them what we call a pepeha. So what it is I can recite my name, my parents, my river, my mountain, my iwi, which is my tribe, from what area of New Zealand we came from. So if an elder person asks me, where am I from, and I recite that, they know exactly and pinpoint where we're from. And from a very young age, we also taught what we call our whakapapa, or our genealogy.
Yep.
And can go right back to when the first canoe came into New Zealand or whatever our ancestors came through. So we teach our children, their identity, especially being away from New Zealand and growing up here. Our youngest was born here, so he doesn't really know a lot about home. So with our Christianity and our culture, karakia, or grace, is always said in Māori. A lot of our tikanga or our protocols in our household we use every day. For instance, for us, our head is sacred, so we don't do things like sitting on pillows because that's where your head lays, passing food over top of the head again because it's something we don't do. Food is another big part for us. We, for instance, the way our preparation is with food, how we store tea towels or things like that, you know, it's just sort of your protocols of what we do.
So how does this affect your faith, like with all your culture strong?
So at first, when we became Christians, we've always had myths and legends growing up that there was a sky father, earth mother, and there was like gods of the sea, gods of the forest. Mm. I think over time, when we first gave our heart to Jesus, Jesus' presence outweighed way more than what the feeling was growing up. So how I look at it now is I look at them as guardians. Mm. So I still respect that. That's my culture. But yeah, not. I don't class them as gods. I class them as guardians of the mm. sea and the forest. So.
Right. So that affected your like faith here in terms of in Australia. Yeah. Were you able to reconcile that, like to know the difference between your culture and Christianity?
Yeah. I believe so. And just I think just praying was a big part too. Sort of help you confirm. You knew in your heart what was right and what you know. Mm. So.
Yeah. That's good. You know, times have certainly changed since you raised your older children, and there are now a lot of things happening in the world that causes alarm. How do you relate to this part of the scripture where it says, you know, she laughs without fear of the future? How do you remain steadfast without fear of the future for your grandbabies?
It's quite funny. I got home late last night after prepping for today and was talking to Michael and Briar. And we read the scripture, and I asked them, you know, what pops out to you? And Briar said so Proverbs 31 verse 27, and it's got, she carefully watches all that goes on in her household and does not have to bear the consequences of laziness. And then we looked at another Bible you had, yeah, and it said her well-ordered priorities allow her to value strength and dignity above charm and other beauty. And I'm very much an ordered and structured person. I do not do spontaneous.
Michael, you're taking note of this?
Do not. And so I looked and thought, that's something that would be, you know, a big part of that. But then this morning when I listened to the blessing and to see, you know, that I have favour upon my family in 1,000 generations, right? And my children and their children. It was sort of, that sort of really popped out of me this morning that I thought, that's it, you know, I have a blessing that I know. I don't fear the future.
Yeah. So you watch over them, but also know the fact that God, when you've dedicated these children to God, that you know that He will watch over them.
Very much so.
Yeah. That's the legacy, isn't it? Yeah. That's great. Thank you, Christine. Leanne, I want to talk about blended families and. I want to ask you a question. You know, I've heard it said that blended families don't blend, they collide. I know because I've got one. I'm in a blended step family situation. So I want to ask you, what challenges have arisen and what solutions did you use to combat those challenges?
So when, like, one of the biggest challenges, I don't know why I'm getting emotional. All right, get it together. One of the biggest challenges was actually being in the same room with your exes. When there's betrayal in a marriage, it causes a lot of hurt and pain. But, you know, at the end of the day, you've got to put your kids first, no matter what. Because they're not the reason that a marriage breaks up. It's between the two adult parties. So, you know, you just got to put your big girl panties on and show up, and especially like at you know, school awards and all that kind of stuff. But I believe that Matt and I have matured enough We're both 50 now.
Woohoo!
To, you know, be the grown-ups in those kind of situations and actually show the kids that we can get along.
Yeah.
And, yeah, like I said, you just got to put them first. And I'm adamant about that. Yeah.
It takes a mature person, emotionally mature, to actually be in that space and actually still know that, you know what, this is not about them, it's about you, your character, and the way you handle a situation. And that's always good. So when it comes to discipline then, do you parent your own children or do you allow each to parent the other's child? Like, how do you handle that?
Yeah, so we do allow each other to parent each other's children. I mean, Jordan's 20 and a half now, so she's kind of matured a lot. But, you know, and we're not always there around the kids. Like, I might go out with friends and stuff. So, you know, Matt's got to be, you know, able to parent the kids if I'm not around and vice versa. I actually, I will allow anybody to parent my child. So if my kids are doing anything wrong in church, please call them out. You have my permission. Because, it, like you said earlier, it does take a village to raise children. Mm. It really, really does. Mm. So, I mean, we both have different parenting styles. Mm. You know, Matt may come across as a sensitive flower. But, you know, he was raised, well, not raised, but his grandpa had a lot of influence on him, and he trained troops in the army. So he's like, draw the line in the sand, that's it. And that's pretty much how Matt is. Where I'm like, I pick my battles. My kids do still respond to this day. I only did it a couple of weeks ago. The old, I'll give you 3 seconds, one, and I get to two, and they, but, yeah, I think we do work well as a team, especially when I need backup to get, you know, when the heavy situations happen, so, but yeah.
That's good. Yeah. I can totally relate to that in terms of discipline because obviously I'm a stepmom too. Now a 22-year-old, and he's actually serving there, doing the video production and that, and so thankful. Like the way we, Daryl and I parent, I'm such a pit bull. Like, I don't know, you don't know me, maybe you do, I'm not sure, but I'm really like strict. I asked my kids last night and asked them, hey, what type of parent do you think I am? Mum, you're not a helicopter parent and or you're a free-range parent, but what is it, Hannah, what did you say? Disciplined, strict, and a bit of free range. And the other one says, no, I don't want eggs. I don't want free range eggs. But, you know, when it comes to discipline, I was never allowed to smack Zachary. And I come from a, well, from my thinking is that spoil the rods, you know, spare the rod, spoil the child. And so, but I wasn't allowed to do that because I was forbidden in that way. So I just give him the look and hopefully, and he turned out all right. I've never really had that thing. We had words, but discipline-wise. The girls, though, they did get smacked. But Daryl is the type of discipline that he's very gentle and patient, where I won't. I just go, bah. But I don't know. Yeah, but, you know, right or wrong, I think we're raising some beautiful kids and good kids. So that's good. So, you know, we've talked about a lot on this topic and it could be seem very heavy and I don't want you to falling asleep on me or anything like that, but this session has been really heavy and there's a lot more questions that I could ask these wonderful women, but for the sake of time, I think I just want to ask one question for all the women here is that, you know, when we talk about they've been really vulnerable, they've been really like just bare your heart out there, and I am so thankful to all of these women. Why don't we give them a hand?
we've covered up like some few topics here today with, you know, health, mental illness, domestic abuse, single parenting, blended grief and loss, blended families, culture, single parent, a lot. And it's so hard to put it into thing, and maybe one day we'll be able to do a lot more in this forum. But vulnerability opens up true relationships and real community. So as we close today, anyone can answer this, okay? What advice would you give to the young women here, online or even here? Anyone?
Communicate and pray hard.
Good.
In my notes, I had a little bit more to add, but it just didn't lead that way. But two words. Single mums, you are valued, you are loved, and you are the most important person in your child's life. So keep them close to God and pray over those plans God has for them.
Hmm. Good. Anyone from this side?
What I've learned is everyone has an opinion, especially people who haven't been through it. And I think that, look, you graciously take on board opinions and advice, but I think in the end you go by your gut. Whatever the Holy Spirit puts in your gut, I think you go by it. You know how to bring your family up. You know the background. And again, that was a turning point for me. What I went through was wanted to know how people should act, but when you become vulnerable to certain losses or griefs, you learn just to be that person to listen and encourage.
That's good. So what would you say then to the men in this church and online as to how can they, you as women, come alongside you and encourage you and support you to be all that God has called you to be? Can anyone answer that? Like, how can the men in this church support you as a woman and make sure that you have a potential, like, with God? Renee, could you?
How could a man come alongside and support us? I think, going by the men that I've had come alongside and support me, is just be a good, genuine, kind person. Listen to the women in your life and the women you know. Just be a good, genuine person.
And that's important, and that's very important. So, you know, a lot has been covered today, and I just want to preface that if there's anything that we've discussed today that may have triggered you, because they're pretty heavy stuff, you know, I encourage you to contact Lifeline or contact this church office, and we'll be able to assist you in whatever you may be going through. So why don't we give all these wonderful women a hand today? Why don't we just stand to your feet, guys, and honour these women. Pastor Darrell's going to come up on stage, and he's got some gifts for you women, just a small token of my appreciation to being on the panel. And thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for your vulnerability today. And I hope that each and every one of you out there and also online has caught a glimpse of what a strong, dignified these women are. So why don't we give them another hand? Well, that closes the service. Sorry it's taken a bit long today because we had 5 baby dedications and we have a panel today. But I thank you for your patience. I thank you for joining us online. Thank you so much. And I hope for all the mums, Cheryl, that you have a great day today and that Pastor Tony spoils you. And so we just want to say thank you to everyone that has made this day fantastic. And please don't rush off if you can. We've got some light refreshments at our hospitality, and connect with people today, and that'll be good. So thank you so much, and we'll close off now, and we'll see you at the foyer. Thank you. Oh, sorry.
I have just one more thank you to a very special mum. Her Mother's Day so far has been putting all this together today, and putting the hard yards in at church, and we just wanted to acknowledge her as well.
Thank you very much. I've got two sets of flowers now. This was not on script, so whoever is not following the run sheet, I'll be seeing you later. No, thank you so much, and God bless you.